Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo, I can't lose. Nah, I can't lose.
What's good, y'all? I'm French the Bro host, sitting in for my brother Josh So Focus, who's out with a sick day. We'd still like to welcome you to the Knicks Take Podcast. This is a weekly episode where we like to bring you the most intriguing Knicks news of the week. Make sure you follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take. Also, be sure to check us out on our website, KnicksTake.com. And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform that you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. Most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show. And now, the show. That intro is crazy to get out by myself, but long story short, my brother's out, so it's just me hosting the show today. Normally, my brother would ask me how I'm doing at this moment. It was a pretty calm week for me. I got sick. As you can see, my brother got sick, so we just trying to thug it out this week. We had a calm stretch, as you may know, if you followed all the Knicks games this week. They went 4-1 to kill any suspense, like my brother would always say, but we're going to go through those games. It's going to be a quick episode this week. I'll give you my opinions, my thoughts on all the games that happened. Give you a preview of all the games that's coming up next week, and then we're gonna head out of here. It's gonna be a quick one, y'all. So to start it off, on March 16th, 10 p.m., the Knicks went to Sacramento to start off their West Coast road trip, and they came out like they wanted to set the tone this game here. They had OG Anunoby back. He didn't have a great scoring output this game, but he definitely had his fingerprints all over this game defensively. Isaiah Hartenstein had a great game this game as well against Sacramento. It seemed like the intensity that the Knicks were playing with, the defensive intensity that they played with, kind of like took Sacramento out of their game, because they're normally a high scoring team. They're one of the best teams in the West. We predicted that we would win this game, and that's exactly what happened. The Knicks came in. Jalen Brunson had 42 points, 5 for 10 from 3, 3 for 4 from the free throw line. Josh Hart almost had him another triple-double. He had 13 rebounds, but 9 points. He didn't have a great scoring output this game, but him, DiVincenzo, and Brunson, they basically have been holding the fort down as long as Julius Randle's been out. They showed another example of that with this game here. And off the bench, Alec Burks had his best game. He had 12 points. He was a plus 13. Bogdanovich was kind of struggling, but the Knicks went into Sacramento and they put their foot on their necks, 198-91. Wasn't much of a takeaway from this game outside of the fact that the Knicks are just a tough team to play. Even the top three options that are gone doesn't seem to take away too much from the Knicks when they're going against the top teams in the West. The Kings were, I believe, second in the West last year. They're still top five, top six in the West this year. And they had all their guys. They had the Aaron Fox. He had 20 points. Sabonis was held on smash this game. I believe he didn't score the entire fourth quarter. Isaiah Hartenstein locked him up. They had Keegan Murray, who went 3-for-12. Like, this was just a great Knicks win. The only guy who really got off on their bench was Malik Monk, who hit 3 threes. But the Knicks came into Sacramento, took this game, and there's not really much to take away from this game outside of the fact that Jalen Brunson's the star. And he took care of business. He took care of business. So enough of Sacramento. We could go on to Golden State now. March 18th at the Chase Center, the new arena for the Golden State Warriors. The Knicks went in. They remember the last time that the Golden State came to New York. They came out, got out to a slow start. That's not what happened this time around. The Knicks raced out to an 18-4 lead early in the game, never trailed. And Jalen Brunson had another great game, 34 points. Miles McBride, he stepped in because OG Anunoby was out this game with some soreness. They wanted to give him some more rest with his elbow. So Miles McBride, he came up, he stepped in as a starter, played 47 minutes, hit 6 threes, 29 points. Biggest game of his career so far against the Golden State Warriors, against a former MVP in Stephen Curry. Draymond Green was playing. Andrew Wiggins was playing, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, they had a full squad. Klay Thompson was coming off the bench, had 18 points. Chris Paul was coming off the bench, went 2-for-2 from three, 6-for-9 from the field. And the Knicks still came and held the Warriors to 112 points as they had 119 points themselves. The Knicks get another win. Two straight on the West Coast trip so far. DiVincenzo hit 4 threes this game, had 18 points. All 5 starters were all in double digits. Hartenstein had him a double-double with 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He was a plus 26 from the field. This is just another all-around great performance from just the starting five. The bench unit, they contributed some, like Precious. He came off the bench. He had like probably one of his worst games, but he was still able to contribute 9 rebounds, 6 points. Bojan and Burks didn't really contribute much this game. Sims got some playing time because there's no OG, but the starters basically took this game, and they came with a point to prove. This is 2 straight wins here on this road trip this week. They had 2 straight wins from last week, so they're on a 4-game winning streak, and they riding hot right now going into the next game, which is Denver, March 21st, at the Ball Arena. First time playing against Nikola Jokic since they got demolished at New York by like 30 points, if I'm not mistaken, the last time they played the Knicks. And you could tell very early on that this was not going to be that same type of game. Michael Porter, he came out. He was on fire this game. Nikola Jokic was like the best player on the court, hands down. He's looking like he's going to be another MVP this coming season since Joel Embiid has been injured. And yeah, this was just a tough game. The Knicks were pretty much down for a large part of this game. Anytime Jokic came off the court and the bench was just in for Denver, the Knicks made a run, and Jalen Brunson, he really didn't have his greatest performance. He was 11-for-23 from the field, 2-for-7 from three, but he still finished tonight with 26 points. Hartenstein had his career high, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He had himself a great game. Miles McBride, he struggled a little bit, but he's still consistent when it comes to playing as a defender. He's pretty much the glue guy for the Knicks so far, and I feel like he's really stepped it up in this stretch since we've made that trade to send Quickly and RJ and all the young guys out, send Quentin Grimes out. Deuce McBride has shown that he's been able to be depended on. He can be trusted to play a lot of minutes. The previous game, he played 47 minutes. That's one minute shy of playing the entire game. This game, Miles McBride played 44 minutes against the defending champions, and he had a positive impact on the game. No matter what way you look at it, even if he's not scoring efficiently, he was only 1-for-5 from 3 this game. But normally throughout this season, he's been a 40% 3-point shooter. He's been a lockdown defender. He's been able to be trusted to guard our toughest matchups throughout the entire season, and he's been depended on to make some clutch shots in the corner 3. catch and shoot. He's even been able to create some shots off the dribble in the mid range and the 3-point. In a corner, he's been making his own shots. So I feel like Miles McBride has really stepped up in this stretch here. They always say when preparation meets opportunity, that's always a recipe for success. And it seems like that's exactly what's happening with Miles McBride. Even with this loss here, this is probably like the least disheartening loss as a Knicks fan that I've had for the last few seasons, just because you see the type of intensity they've been playing with as a team. Even against the defending champions, down 3 starters, you only lose by 13 points. You don't really want to take moral victories, but like in a 4-game West Coast trip, the only team that you lose to is the defending champions. Like, you can't really be too mad about that. So I might as well just go on to the next game. There's not much really to take away from the Denver game, outside of everything I just said. So on March 23rd, which was yesterday, Saturday at MSG, early afternoon game. It was a kids game for the Knicks. They had all the kids out in the crowd. And I think that was symbolism to clown the team that we were playing against. Because going against the Brooklyn Nets, everyone knows that in New York City, the Knicks are the team that runs the whole city. Nobody really cares about the Brooklyn Nets. They're the stepchild, the little brothers. So I guess, well, if they come into town at 1 p.m. on a Saturday, bring all the kids out, because that's what's going to be on display when the Knicks come to play the Brooklyn Nets. So Brooklyn came out. They played a little hard. They tried to keep this game as competitive as they could. This is another game we know with OG Anunoby. Dante DiVincenzo had another great game. He scored 31 points. Miles McBride stepped up another game where we needed him to, because this one was a little close throughout the first half. He finishes this night with 6 3-pointers. He hit 26 points, had 3 assists. He was playing phenomenal defense in the fourth quarter. Cam Thomas was like a guy that would normally give us fits in the past, because he could always get to his mid-range. He's a great shooter. He could create his own shot. Mikal Bridges has proved to be one of the great catch and shoot guys around the NBA, one of the best defenders around the NBA. He's a great glue guy. He's a part of the Villanova crew that won the championship with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and DiVincenzo. So anytime he comes to town, they always try to like give him a hard time. They said that he's like the one guy just sitting out who's not able to have fun with all the friends, because he's on the other side of the bridge. He's in Brooklyn. He ain't really having no fun over there while all the guys are on the Knicks. And that's pretty much what was shown in this game. In the fourth quarter, the Brooklyn Nets went 8 straight minutes without really scoring a bucket. The defense that the Knicks were playing had them in a stranglehold. DiVincenzo had 31 points to end this night out. Brunson was pretty, he was struggling. He was 7 for 24, but he went 3 for 4 from 3. 17 points, 8 assists. Consistent, you know, all-star type of performance from him, even on an off night. He could still be depended on to make a clutch basket if you need him to. Set his teammates up the whole night if he needed to. Josh Hart had a great night, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. Steal, block, 6 points. He was a plus 15. All 5 starters for the Knicks were all plus at least 10. The bench, they didn't really contribute much to this game, but the starters, they took care of business. Miles McBride, again, as I've been talking about how he's been playing a lot of minutes, he played every single minute this game. He didn't sit down a single minute. He played 48 and was efficient. 9 for 16 from the field, 6 for 12 from 3, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. I think he's going to be big for us, not only to close this year out, but I think he's going to be big for us in the playoffs. And we couldn't really say that about Quickly, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm comparing the two, but Emmanuel Quickly never really got to step up in the playoffs and show us that he could be depended on outside of maybe a few moments in the Atlanta series a few years ago. I think that with Miles McBride, he's shown that he can be trusted in pivotal moments, even when he's not even in the rotation. Last year, when we were in the first round against Cleveland, he was playing minutes against Donovan Mitchell in, I believe, game three, game four, played important minutes. He was shown that he can be trusted in those minutes, and we won that game. He contributed to those wins, and he wasn't even a part of the rotation at that time. Now that he's in the rotation, he's going to be playing a lot more moving forward. He's got a shot that he can be dependent on to knock down in the corners. He hit a shot earlier this season, I believe against Cleveland, after Josh Hart hit the step back three and then popped D. Mitch's chain. The next person to seal the deal was Miles McBride in the other corner. So I think moving forward, we have to give Miles McBride some respect. We have to acknowledge that his spot in the rotation is solidified moving forward. And it may be time to, like, I know me and my brother always going back and forth about Precious and Burks and about that trade. We need to start talking about Miles McBride, because he's solidifying a role for himself while we still trying to bicker and see who's going to get the ninth and 10th spot between the rest of the roster. Miles McBride is probably going to be taking minutes from guys that we just traded for too. So that's the biggest takeaway for me. Knicks win this game 105-93, and yeah, Brooklyn's still the stepchild. They're still the little brothers. It's never going to really change. I see that team being blown up too this offseason, but we'll talk about that in a later episode. Now that we've gone through all the games in the previous week, let's go and see what's happening this week coming forward. We have three games this week to talk about in the next episode. We're going to be facing off against Detroit on March 25th at the Garden at 7:30 p.m., don't really need no predictions with this one. We know the Detroit Pistons ain't good. The Knicks are probably going to smack them by 20. Hopefully, OG Anunoby's back for this game. Quick update. I know I'm all over the place, y'all. Mitchell Robinson, right? Quick update. He's been participating fully in the team practices. So I'm expecting he's going to be back in the next game. I thought he would have been back for the Brooklyn game, but I definitely expect him to come back for Detroit. This is like going to be a great game for him to get some burn, get some run in, get some cardio in, get his win back. He's going to come off the bench, they said. So I think this is going to be a great game for him to return. I predict the Knicks are going to win this game in blowout fashion. So we can move on to the next game, Toronto. The Knicks are going to be heading out there to face off against the Raptors on March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Second time that the Knicks are going to be facing off against the young guys that they traded out, and RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. They've also made some other trades for Bruce Brown, but it's nothing that we should really be concerned about. We took care of Toronto the last time we played them. I don't see a much different outcome this time around. Even though we're in Toronto, I do see Quickley being inspired for this game. I see RJ being inspired, but if Mitch is back, which I'm expecting to happen, if Randle's possibly back, which I'm expecting to happen within the next few weeks, I don't know if it's going to happen as soon as Toronto, but I just don't see them being able to match up well with the Knicks. Hopefully OG's not out as long as he was before. It doesn't seem like he will, but it seems like he's day-to-day, but if he comes back for this game too, that's even more reason to think that the Knicks are going to win this game. So the Knicks are on a one-game winning streak since they lost to Denver. They're going to be on two since I predicted the Detroit win. And after they go to Toronto, I'm predicting three-game winning streak. The Knicks are very close to being a 50-win team. There's only 13 games left this season, and I believe they're record right now is 42-28. So 8 more wins and they're a 50-win team. I think it's very possible, especially with the three games that's coming up this week. After the Toronto Raptors, they're going to be facing off against San Antonio. in San Antonio. They're going to be facing off against the Spurs in San Antonio on March 29th at 8 p.m. And the Spurs record right now, as I'm recording, is 15-56, which is the third worst team in the NBA. Even with the number one overall pick in Victor Wembanyama, he's going to be rookie of the year. He's a problem on San Antonio, but I don't see him being enough of a problem to give the Knicks any fits. So with that being said, that's going to be a 3-game winning streak for this week. And yeah, they're going to be 6 games away from 50 wins when we return. So I think that there's going to be a nice little push at the end of the season. The Knicks are going to go on another nice little win streak. It should be an exciting next couple of games, because the quicker that they can get the top three clinched, maybe they can start resting some guys and prepare for the playoffs, because there's only 3 weeks left of the regular season. There's not a lot of time left to get these the matchups for the playoffs to get them set and figure out who's going to be in the play-in, who's going to be just who are you going to be facing off against in the playoffs. This is the time where we figure that out, and guys are coming back healthy. This is the time for them to get back into the rhythm, get their win right, and yeah, this is the final stretch, this final push. And yeah, we got a few weeks. Last topic that we're going to talk about today is, should Mitch start when he comes back, even though he's already been confirmed to come off the bench? I believe we should keep it the way that it is right now, since Hartenstein he's been playing out of his mind. He's one of the best centers in the NBA right now. I think Mitch is going to need some time to get back to the status that he was early in the year. He was one of the best shot blockers in the NBA, one of the best offensive rebounders in the NBA. Once the playoffs start, I think depending on the matchup, he could definitely have like another huge impact on a series, just like he did in the Cleveland series last year. And now that we have OG, we have somebody who's also going to be able to help fortify the defense when he's not on the court. And I'm just really excited to see Mitch back, I'm not going to lie. Our defense has been holding pretty tough without him, but it would be 10 times better with him here on top of having OG. So I think he should come off the bench just until he gets his legs back. And depending on just like how chemistry is going, if he's comfortable off the bench, then just keep him there, at least for the rest of this, the rest of the season, because these guys are used to playing with Hartenstein. They had the chemistry with Hartenstein. They're doing pick and rolls with him. Hartenstein's a better passer, better shooter. He's scoring in areas of the court that Mitch doesn't score in. So I think at least for the remainder of this year, I think Hartenstein can be trusted to just be our starting big man. Mitch can be trusted to be our big man off the bench, and whoever's just having the better night is going to close the night out as our center. So I don't have any issue with Tibbs bringing Mitch off the bench. I think Mitch is going to get reincorporated into the offense as quickly as probably 3 games coming back off of this injury, and that's just going to work wonders for the Knicks. I have high expectations for the way that the season's going to end. So yeah, it's best to just come back at the later episodes and just see how it's going, see how much our predictions were right. But with no further ado, I'd like to bid you adieu and thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace, y'all. What it do? Mobbing with